Welcome to the Warrior Mama Podcast, as we learn how to apply God's Word to our lives in motherhood, finding in big and small ways that the truth of the gospel applies not just to our lives as moms, but also to our children's lives, so that as we stand anchored in Him, we mother confidently with our hearts at rest. I'm so glad you're joining me today at the kitchen table. Welcome back to the kitchen table. Welcome back to Parenting Principles. What do we do when our kids won't share? That's what we're talking about today. What are the guiding principles that we're going to have, that we're going to see their actions in light of these main principles, and we're going to speak or teach these principles into our children? That's what we're doing this month. You've already heard at the beginning of this week, you heard about how to teach our kids to be a problem solver, how to be peacemakers, how do we walk with our children who are prone to tattling. And today, it's all about sharing. And tomorrow is going to be about giving. And these two are actually going to link pretty nicely hand in hand. But I want to speak to this first part, this first key principle when it comes to sharing. And that is, not wanting to share should not surprise us. Our kids are not going to want to share because you and I don't like to share. Even if we are the most giving people we know, there's going to be a moment in time when you're pushed to give to a certain place or a certain day or a certain moment, and you're going to choose yourself. You're going to choose selfishness because we have a natural grip, meaning we have a natural tendency towards selfishness in our flesh. Now, the gospel teaches that if you are saved, the old man has been put to death. So then what is happening is you're just choosing, though, to revert back, or you're choosing to go back where it feels most comfortable, which is in selfishness. Over and over in scripture, we see passage after passage encouraging us to have a different mindset as a believer. Well, that's going to be crazy hard for our kids, isn't it? Because if they are believers, they're young believers. They're just learning how to walk with Jesus. If they're not believers, all they have is a natural tendency towards selfishness. So I want you to understand this first about this parenting principle. Selfishness is going to show up in your home probably at least once an hour. Somebody's going to do something. And I want you to also understand that if you are at all like me in this, I want you to hear how I have dealt with selfishness over the last 25 years. I've dealt with it poorly. It, for some reason, is a trigger point for me with my kids. When I see one child being selfish towards another, not sharing a snack, not sharing pencils, not sharing a toy, whatever the not sharing is, it can be a trigger for me. I can be offended on behalf of the child not being shared with, and that is not right. So I want you to have a better parenting principle from the very beginning than I have, which is, this is not a surprise. We should be expecting this, because either they're not saved, so they don't know Jesus, so all they have is their flesh, or they are newly learning how to walk with Jesus, and we get to guide them in that and give wisdom and discernment into this moment. Okay, this is an opportunity to speak gospel to your children, to point them to the Word, to help them see this is what Jesus wants, how Jesus would call you to act. And there's so much blessing when you act by sharing. But let's not be surprised, and don't be like me. Don't be offended. So where do we find this in scripture? Well, 1 Corinthians 10:24 says, let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Well, and then if we begin to layer on top of that, then later on in 1 Corinthians in chapter 13, we hear or we read, love is patient and kind. It doesn't envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude, and it does not insist on its own way, which is the height of selfishness, right? And then further on, we see Paul talking about in Philippians 2, it says, do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped. So really quickly, the principle we want to begin to teach our children is, when we walk with Jesus, we want to be like Jesus And we want to choose to see others and see their interests, see their needs, and meet their needs. So what does that mean practically? How do we practically put this principle in play in our home? Well, one of the most practical things that we started from the very beginning with our children, we had our first two 19 months apart, and there were a lot of sparks that flew between those two. And this needed to be something I put in play really quickly, which was, how do we handle toys and items? And so we have a rule. Number one, if you have all of something, you need to share with the other person who wants to join in your play. So you have all the cars, you need to share by letting them have a car or two to play with because they want to join you in your play. Now, if that other child is not choosing to join you in your play, they want to take the cars and go somewhere else, that's not going to be okay. If they're choosing to join you in your play, then I'm asking you to choose to share. You get to pick which ones you share, but I'm going to call you to generous sharing. If this child, though, say, like, let's pretend, though, that one child owns all the Matchbox cars. They're his. He loves them. He's always played with them. But today, he's not playing with them. He's playing over in a different area with puzzles. And little sister or little brother comes over and decides they're going to sit and play with the Matchbox cars. And immediately, the little one doing puzzles jumps up, runs over to assert their ownership and their dominance over the Matchbox cars. Okay. This is the principle of sharing we want to teach, is unless you were actively engaged with it before somebody comes to want to play with it, in that moment, it's free game. Anyone can play with them. So you may join them in play, but we're going to play where everybody gets to share equally. Or you can go back to playing your puzzles and tell your brother or sister, when you're finished playing with them, will you please bring them to me? Because I would like to play. So in other words, the way I've always thought about this in our home is every child has permission to have one or two things that are, quote, special to me. And that's the language we use in our home. These two or three things are special to me. You only get two or three. Usually it's whatever you just got for your birthday. But for some children, it's something that's been special to them for a long time, and you know it's special to them. But you only get two or three of those toys. Everything else is for general usage and consumption in a way that honors the person who owns it, meaning we're not going to break it, and we're not going to steal it or hide it. And when that child is finished with the play, they are to return it to where they had it or to put it away. What this does is it begins to teach our children that while I have lots of things, I am a steward of those things. They are not something that I must clamp down on and hold tightly to. I can share knowing they're going to be returned to me in good condition. I know that if you finish with it, you're going to bring it to me so I get a turn to play with it. And we begin to have this conversation. And you and I as moms, we're not surprised that we're going to have lots of mitigating these conversations and leading this. But when my principle is, number one, I want to teach you to do this. Number two, I'm not surprised that you're acting selfishly, and I'm not disappointed in you for acting selfishly. Instead, I'm going to challenge you to live generously. And we're going to complete this conversation tomorrow in the podcast. But for today, and then the final thing is, ownership is only 10% of the toy. Whoever's playing with it has a 90% privilege. It's how I see it in our home. So 90-10, if you're playing with it, and even if it's owned by somebody else, as long as it's not their special to me item, they cannot hijack your play and come usurp it and take it away from you. They may not do that. They can wait patiently for you to finish, or they can join you in your play as long as they're choosing to join you, play the way you want to play. So ownership is only 10%, meaning it is only there for you to come and say, when you're finished, I would like to play, or may I join you in your play? But for the most part, when we begin to language this into our children at very young ages, when they get up and we're sharing clothes and they're older, same concept applies to sharing clothes. You have certain things that are special to you. That is valid. But for the bulk, they need to come ask permission. They can use it, wear it if you're not wearing it that day. They need to return it within a day, washed, clean, and ready to go for you. But with a generous spirit, we want to look to the interests of someone else, not only ourselves. We want to have the mind of Jesus Christ, which doesn't count equality something to be grasped, but lowers ourselves below. I hope you understand this is a hard concept. This is not an easy concept, but I look forward to talking to you all about this. Looking forward to hearing about it in the DMs over on Instagram. But this is a key concept to shaping the way your children interact with their siblings. It will lower fighting. It will lower tattling. It will, all of the other things will begin to de-escalate when sharing begins to be a primary principle we put in play in our homes. Do you ever feel overwhelmed in your motherhood as if you're not measuring up to everyone else around you? Or maybe you're just not measuring up to your own expectations? Do you find yourself wondering how following Jesus actually impacts your daily life with your kids? If the answer is yes, then you need Reset. You need this 6-week journey in learning how to anchor your motherhood to key gospel truths, not only so that you know them, not only so that you feel at peace and at rest and not overwhelmed and not anxious anymore, but Mama, I want you to know these truths so they pour out of you in the everyday language and speech and conversations you have with your children. Join me in Reset, anchoring your motherhood in the gospel, and watch what God does as He changes your very motherhood. If you like this format for podcasts, you're going to love the Reset Bible Study. Grab the link in our show notes. Join me over the next 6 weeks and journey with Jesus as He changes your heart and your mind and helps you parent confidently because you're no longer overwhelmed and anxious. Instead, you fully understand His gospel for you and for your kids. Thanks for listening this week to the Warrior Mama podcast. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support other Warrior Mamas, I'll tell you that one of the best ways that you can do is you can just share this podcast with your friends. You know, sometimes we love to talk about the things we like the most for our face, for our life, for our kids. Can I tell you that it would be a great blessing to begin to share with other moms the things that God is teaching you and the ways that He is growing you in Him? Our prayer over here at the Warrior Mama podcast is that this podcast is something that does that for you in your life. So feel free to share it with your friends, post about it on social media, and of course, leave a rating and a review. I love seeing what God is doing in your lives. And I look forward to sitting with you at the kitchen table again next week.